You know, there was never a better storyteller than the Lord Jesus Christ, and the stories or parables that Jesus told are still applicable and relevant and helpful to our lives today. Next, on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we study the parables of Christ. Stay with us. Everybody loves a good story, and there was never a better storyteller than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today on Daily in the Word, we're going to examine the parables of Christ and draw practical application for our lives. I know you'll be encouraged. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. You can hear this broadcast in its entirety at dailyintheword.org, where you can also subscribe to the podcast, see a daily devotion, and find out much more about this ministry, dailyintheword.org. I also encourage you to visit paulchappell.com, Dr. Chappell's personal blog and website of encouragement. You'll find a great many articles and resources at that site, and you'll enjoy getting his perspective on some current events and things that are happening in our ministry and in our world. All of this is to be found at paulchappell.com. But right now, let's turn our hearts to God's Word for today's edition, today's Bible study on Daily in the Word. And join us in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, as today we consider his advocacy. Here's Paul Chappell.
One thing that I have learned in 25 years of preaching and pastoring is that there is a common thread that runs throughout the congregations of every church, and that common thread is that every one of us at one time or another, or perhaps at many times in our Christian experience, will have trials and difficulties that face us. There will come times, as we have heard this week, of those whose loved ones are called home, and times when sickness enters into the family, and times when unplanned trials come in the lives of our young people, times when our children and times when our own spouses are having difficulty. Every one of us face trials and difficulties. And yet the good news this morning is that every one of us who are the children of God also have an advocate, a righteous judge, a heavenly Father who wants to hear and answer our prayer today. And the parable before us this morning shows us a very troubled woman. She was a widow. She was weak by the world's standards. And she came to a judge who really didn't care and only finally helped her because of her persistency. I think of a man this morning by the name of William Cowper. William Cowper was perhaps one of the most famous poets in England during the 1800s. He lived in Olney, England, next door neighbors with John Newton. William Cowper was a weak man, a frail man, often when he was in bed, he would stay there for weeks at a time because of his sickness and sometimes his depression. In those times, he often would write famous hymns. Some of the hymns we sing this morning, such as "There is a fountain filled with blood," were written by this man who was weak and very frail. William Cowper, speaking on the subject of prayer, once said and later wrote, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees." Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. My friend, it is the will of God that we would be a people who talk to him and who pray to him. In the closing verses of Luke chapter 17, Jesus had been teaching about his second coming. He had been telling his disciples that he would leave the earth and he would come to the earth again a second time. And as we come now to chapter 18, he begins with this admonishment. He says, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." In other words, with his coming in mind, we as his people should be praying and seeking his face and talking to him more and more and more. And God does not want us to lose heart in our prayer lives. It is his will that we would pray and not faint. And he has promised that when we pray, he will be our advocate. He says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." I'm so thankful today that when I pray, Jesus Christ is my advocate, and God the Father invites me to come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in the parabolic teaching of this passage this morning that we are taught a truth concerning prayer. And in the comparison to the widow and the judge, we are going to see that all of us identify with the widow, the one in need, and that all of us can come to a judge who is righteous, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, prayer is a conscious dependence upon God. It is prayer that brings us into the presence of God as we as Christians come to Him. Many times Christians lose heart in their prayer lives and sometimes even try to reinvent a way to get something done that they want accomplished. Years ago, my wife and I were praying with a lady whose husband was not saved. And by the way, I cannot think of a greater prayer request than to pray for the salvation of a lost friend or a lost spouse. And we prayed and prayed for a few months for this lady's husband to get saved. And finally, she came to me one day in the church lobby and she said, "Pastor Chapel, we've been trying to pray for my husband and he's been here a few times, but he still hasn't got saved." And by the way, one of our hopes every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, is that someone coming here would hear the gospel and have an opportunity to come and be saved. But he had not yet responded. And she said, "Now what I plan to do now is I plan to take him to another church where there's more of a rock and roll approach and where we can just kind of maybe through a different style kind of get Jesus into him." She said it through the back door kind of a way. In other words, maybe we were just kind of getting too confrontational or whatever, and maybe just through the back door kind of a way. And she was going to try it that way. And tragically, a few months had passed, and not only was the husband never saved, but now the lady is not in church at all. And my point is simply this. When it comes to having God move on the hearts of men, we had better be careful about trying to manipulate it our way, and we better come to God's way in the matter. And God's way is the prayer way. God's way is that we would always pray and not faint. And if you're like me, sometimes we pray for a while and then we try another way. But God says, "I don't want you to pray for a while. I want you to always pray. I want you to keep coming to me and keep seeking my face." And so notice with me this morning, as we study the subject of prayer and Christ as our advocate, notice if you would the importance of prayer. Very simply, by way of introduction, we notice in the passage that prayer should be constant. Prayer should be constant. The Bible says that men ought always to pray. Martin Luther once said, "If I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of fire of faith." Martin Luther was not always friendly to our Baptist forefathers, but he was a man who learned from the book of Galatians that salvation was by faith alone and in Christ alone. And he was a man who learned that he could not confront the Roman Catholic Church during the Great Reformation unless he prayed and prayed and had God's help and God's power to stand up for what is right. John Bunyan, the great Baptist preacher in England, who wrote the second greatest selling book in world history, a book entitled The Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan wrote, "He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day." You see, these are great men who understood that prayer is essential in the Christian life. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Now, my friend, do you understand this morning that churches are closing their doors? 4,000 churches in America closed their doors last year. I mean, where there used to be a church, the building now is a coffee shop or a library or a gift store in many cities across America. Do you understand that pastors are quitting the ministry and church members are falling into worldliness? And in many places, the power of God is not evident. And do you recognize this morning that only prayer can bring revival, and only prayer can save a family, and only prayer can save a nation? And God says men ought always to pray and not to faint. I'm not talking about some type of vain repetition. I'm not talking about counting beads or praying to statues. I'm talking about praying directly to God Almighty based upon the merit of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Prayer should be constant. And may I say to you that prayer should be confident. God wants us coming to Him with confidence in our prayer. Now, Hebrews chapter 10 speaks much about prayer. Last Sunday morning, our family attended church on vacation, and we went to a church where the pastor expounded Hebrews chapter 9 for an hour and 35 minutes. The service was not hour and 35, just the sermon was an hour and 35. What a godly pastor he was. We go a few minutes over this morning. You forgive me, I was inspired. But Hebrews chapter 9 speaks of the sufficient work of Jesus Christ in providing salvation for our sins. But then when you come to Hebrews 10, you begin to understand that because of the New Testament work, because of the shedding of the blood, there are certain privileges availed to the Christian. Primarily the privilege of prayer is spoken of there. Hebrews 10, 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Please take note of that word, boldness. This is how God wants you. If you are saved, if you are His child, this is how God wants you to come to Him. Not because you are worthy, but because of the blood that was shed, because of His grace towards you. He says, I want you to come boldly to me. And He says in verse 20, by this new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, notice this, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. God says, I want you to come with boldness. I want you to come with full assurance of faith. We don't have to mealy mouth with God. We don't have to play games and come with some false piety or false humility. We come in humility and we come with a purified conscience, but we come boldly to Him. I tell you this morning, if you have children and you love your children and they have a need, you don't want them to come to you feeling bad about having to come to you. You want them to come boldly into your presence and state the need, and you want to help them to the best of your ability. How much more then does God want us to come that we might be helped in our time of need? This is why in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Listen, let us therefore come how? Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh friend, God says, come to me. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't look at the people who never pray but seem to be blessed. My friend, many times there is a mask of happiness that they show, and yet with their wealth and yet with their accomplishments, they do not have the basic privilege that the poorest of Christians possesses, and that is the privilege to come right into the presence of God in prayer. And God says, I want you to come to me. I don't want you to fret yourself about what's happening in someone else's life. Men ought always to pray. Psalm 103 and verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God wants us to fear him and have him in awe. And God wants us to come with holy reverence before him, yes, but also with boldness as we come in. And it's a combination, is it not? That we come to the Lord with a boldness and we come to the Lord with an awe of who he is, recognizing He is a holy God who has invited us to come in. And he says, I invite you to come. And he says, those that fear me, those that have me in high esteem, I'm going to help those that come to me with that kind of a heart. And by the way, my friend, God is a holy God. I know I'm old-fashioned. I know that our music's a bit old-fashioned. I like it that way. We're not here to have a little rap session with what some people call the man upstairs. We are here to worship a holy and a high God. And God says the way we approach him is important. And we're to come to him with a heart, yes, of boldness as we come, but not because we're so worthy. It's based upon the shed blood. And we're to come to him with a heart of awe and reverence. And so the importance of prayer is seen in verse 1. Men ought always to pray. God says, I want to hear from you. You're my child. I want you to talk to me. Now notice, if you would, secondly, the importunity of prayer. The word importunity speaks of the repetition, the faithfulness of one who comes and comes and comes to the Lord in their time of need. And the widow in this parable is an example of importunity. Hudson Taylor often said, learn to move men through prayer. Learn to move men through prayer. Have you ever had someone that you tried to convince of something? Have you ever had someone that you tried to argue with them? You tried to debate with them? You tried to convince them of your way? Have you ever had someone at work or someone in the community or perhaps one of your children and you've tried for hours and hours to show them a particular principle and it just doesn't seem like it's getting through? Or perhaps there's some kind of a shield that's thrown up at you. And Hudson Taylor said, we must learn to move men through prayer. There is a certain kind of change that you and I cannot bring into someone's life, but God Almighty can change their heart if we are willing to come to Him in prayer, you see. And this is why we must be importunate in our prayer. Now notice in the first place, the uncaring judge. The uncaring judge. And I want you to see this, please, in verse 2. There was in the city a judge which feared not God. Now folks, you don't want that said about you. It's okay if someone says, he is a God-fearing man. That's okay. But this man did not fear God. One of my favorite pictures of U.S. history is General George Washington with his knees in the snow at Valley Forge, and how I appreciate other great presidents and generals and such who have an awe for God. This is the kind of leadership that made America great. And here we see a man that did not care for God, perhaps a judge in the Roman magistrate who thought himself above God or thought that he could tell the people what they needed. He didn't need to listen to what they thought. The Bible says that he did not fear God. Exodus chapter 18 describes the kind of judge that God desired for his people. It's in your notes, Exodus 18, 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them, and to be rulers of the thousands and rulers of hundreds and fifties and tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Now, you see, one of God's prerequisites for a judge was that he should be a God-fearing man. This should be someone who is thinking in terms of holiness, righteousness, and in terms of the biblical mandate for a judge to be fair and for a judge to think in terms of what would please God in this matter. In this state, the California Supreme Court gave a decision handed down by judges, by the way, elected by the people. And in their decision, they overturned the desire of some 61% of the people and overturned Prop 22 authored by State Senator Pete Knight some years ago. And they said, we know the people voted that marriage is between a man and a woman, but we are going to now legalize in the state of California that marriage can be between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. They weren't talking about some type of civil union. They were saying, we want to say this is on an equal footing with what God ordained marriage to be. And my friend, God ordained marriage to be between a man and a woman. And these judges in San Francisco who fear not God, who have disregarded the teachings of the Bible, passed down their rule that same-sex marriage is now legal in California. Why do you say these things, Pastor Chappell? Because there are judges in America who do not fear God. This man didn't. But you know, men who do not fear God, whether they will admit it or not, many times do not care for men either. They say, well, we're thinking of the rights of this persecuted minority. May I say to you that in doing so, they have disregarded the needs of men. Notice what the Bible says in this verse number 2. There was in a city a judge which feared not God. Notice, neither regarded man. Proverbs 29:7. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. You see, the righteous judge is always going to listen to the needs of the people, irrespective of their background or of their socioeconomic case. He's going to want to hear and help them. We see the uncaring judge. But notice, secondly, notice the persistent widow. This widow comes to the judge in verse 3. And she says, avenge me of mine adversary. She had someone persecuting her, someone that was being unkind to her, someone that had perhaps brought her difficulty in various ways. And she says to the judge, I need some help. I need some help. And in verse number 4, he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Do you notice that this judge said, I don't really have a heart for this, but this woman's not going to stop. She's importunate. She keeps coming. And because she keeps coming and because she's going to wear me down, I'm going to go ahead and answer this prayer. Now, James chapter 4 and verse 2 is very clear. You have not because you ask not. And here was a woman who was willing to ask. And my friend, do you understand this morning that God loves you, and God wants you, and God expects you, and God commands you to pray? And he says men ought always to pray. And prayer is asking, and prayer is beseeching God, and prayer is coming to God with your needs and your heartaches and your burdens. And God wants to hear about this from you. Do you understand this morning that men may spurn your appeal, and men may reject your message, and men may oppose your argument, and they may despise our persons? But Jason Lobaxter said they are helpless against our prayers, and there are certain mountains that only God can move. And God says, I want you to learn from a widow lady. Now, I know some people say, well, I will learn from someone who has their master's in religious education, or their master's of divinity from theological school, or their MBA, or someone who's a lot older. I'll learn from someone like that. I don't learn from widows. Then you don't understand God. When God wanted to teach about giving, he used the widow's mite. And God's trying to teach us about praying. Sometimes God will take the weaker and baser things to try to teach us the way that we should live. And he said, learn from this woman. She kept coming, and she kept coming, and she kept coming. Luke chapter 11 and verse 8, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Oh, do you understand? Today there's a call from God, and how we've seen over the years in building programs and in praying for lost loved ones. And while I mentioned earlier one whose husband was not saved, I look even in this room this morning, and I see women who are seated next to a saved husband, and I see husbands seated next to a saved wife, because they would not stop praying, and they kept coming before God Almighty. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, how I love that verse. It tells me that there may be times in my prayer life when I am so overwhelmed that I cannot seem to articulate my burden to the Lord. I cannot say to him what is on my heart. I'm so hurting and so overwhelmed, but even then the Holy Spirit will help me, and he will make intercession, and he will help me even with my groanings and utterings and my broken heart. And God Almighty will understand my heart through the inner working of the Holy Spirit of God. I wonder, friend, when was the last time you dropped out of sight simply to get alone with God? When was the last time you rose up early, or took a day off, or said, I'm going to have this special time here just to pray and seek God's face? There ought not be a major decision in your life, whether it be a purchasing of a home, or whether it be engagement or marriage, or whether it be some other thing of this nature, that is not bathed in prayer. There ought not be a major difficulty or trial in your life that you face without prayer and seeking God Almighty. Oh, the importunity of prayer. God says, men ought always to pray. God says, learn from the little widow lady who just kept coming to me and kept coming to me and seeking my face. But now I want you to notice finally this morning the involvement of prayer. You see, something happens when churches pray. The fact of the matter is, when we get involved in prayer, God gets involved with us. When we are willing to be like the widow lady who wouldn't stop coming, then God gets involved. Psalm 109 in verse 4, the psalmist said, for my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. The psalmist said, Lord, there's times when just for trying to help, it didn't work out. What are you going to do, David? I guess I'll just have to give it to the Lord in prayer. There will be times in your life when you're not able to change certain things. You tried your best and it didn't work out. It's during those times that only God can touch and change a heart. Notice, if you will, God's intervention, verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word. And today, Dr. Chappell has been teaching and preaching through a series entitled The Parables of Christ. We've been studying the masterful storyteller and drawing practical principles and applications from the great stories and parables that our Savior told. You can hear this series or this broadcast in its entirety on dailyintheword.org. Visit us there, dailyintheword.org. You'll find links to the podcast. You can subscribe to this broadcast and download it to your iPod or computer and take it with you at your convenience. I also want to encourage you to call or write to us and contact us this month. We have a gift for you during this series. It's a new booklet written by Dr. Chappell entitled The Blessings and Pitfalls of social networking. You know, social networking is a phenomenon that's taken our culture, our young people, by storm. I mean, it is inundating our culture. And there are some blessings that come along with it, as well as many pitfalls. We sat down and put this booklet together with Pastor Chappell. It's been a help and encouragement to many. Few Christians have really thought deeply about their social networking and how they should be a testimony online for Christ. This little booklet is our gift to you this month. Absolutely no charge. We'll just send it to you when you call or write to us and request it. Three ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. Just call and tell us you'd like to request a little booklet offered on the Daily in the Word program. It's entitled, again, The Blessings and Pitfalls of Social Networking. Or you can visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the email and send us an email and request the little booklet again. Or you can write to us at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. And again, our gift to you this month, The Blessings and Pitfalls of Social Networking. For more information about this ministry, visit us at lancasterbaptist.org. If you're ever in Southern California within driving distance of Lancaster, we invite you to be our guest for Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night services. Every week, every service is different. We look forward to meeting you if at all possible. Thanks for being a part of today's broadcast, and until next time, have a great day.